Okay, the title of today's message is Be Careful What You Go Back To, and we're going to read from Luke 17, 11 to 17. I'm going to not read out the whole passage, I'm going to read it as we go, okay? So we're going to read a bit, talk a bit, read a bit, talk a bit. And I'm hoping, if we've got a bit of time at the end, to have an opportunity to respond, that there'll be space just for you guys to respond to this message. So let's see what God does, okay? Verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Okay, now you would have already read in your Restore 2024, yeah? Luke 4, Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. That wasn't that long ago, you would have read it, which is in Galilee. And in Luke 9, he was rejected in the villages in Samaria, which are these areas that Jesus is passing through now. I want to call these regions of rejection. And maybe if you write notes or if you've got your Bible and you can write in it or whatever, write that down, regions of rejection. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he has to go in and through regions of rejection to get there. You may have regions of rejection in your life, places, people, past experiences that have impacted you heavily and caused you fear and discouragement. But here we are seeing Jesus just pass through these regions. He's not suffering with rejection. In fact, because it's Jesus, he's able to have compassion on those that are associated to his rejection. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Spoiler alert, if you don't know yet, he's on the way to the cross. His assignment is greater than his personal fears or these regions of rejection. If you are suffering rejection from a bad experience that has stopped your assignment from God, I want to let you know something today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God wants you to know something today that actually maybe somewhere down the path, I don't know anybody here. I know Mackie a little bit, and that's about it. Okay, and I don't know any of you, but what I want, I believe there are people here today that are suffering with regions of rejection in their life, that you were given an assignment from God, and somewhere down the line, rejection came in. Somewhere down the line, something, a bad experience happened, and it stopped your assignment for God. God wants you to know that you have everything you need in you. You have all the tools. If you are a follower of Christ, a believer in God, if you've received him into your life, you have resurrection power that is in you. You have all the tools to navigate through these regions of rejection onto your assignment. This is something I do in our church, so I'm sorry if it's not comfortable for you. But turn to the person next to you. Okay, you pick the person. Okay, say this. I'm going to say it slowly. May this year. Oh, wow. I've got a loud church. Okay, so you got to say it loud, okay? Let them hear you, okay? May this year, 2024, be the year that you overcome your regions of rejection and walk into your assignment. Amen. Now give yourself like 5 seconds of like a hand clap. Come on. Amen. Well done. Brilliant. Awesome. Cool. Okay, verse 12. I'm sorry, I'm not a Baptist minister. Okay, 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These 10 men were lepers. That means that they had a skin condition and that it wasn't healing. They were outcasts in society. They stood afar off because you weren't allowed to come close to people. And they cried out to Jesus, have mercy on us. Now, the ritual, according to Leviticus 13, you can go read that for homework, is that if someone had a skin issue, the priests would come along and they would check that issue. And if it looked a certain way, they would keep an eye on it. And they would come back after 7 days and keep an eye on it. And if it wasn't going away, that person would be declared a leper. The priest would declare them a leper. These 10 men were declared by the priest to be lepers. They were seen as unclean and because of that, now isolated from society. Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So these 10 men cried out to Jesus. Jesus doesn't do what he usually does. Yeah, he doesn't say you're healed. He doesn't show that it's obvious what he's saying, or like, this is what you need to do and then you'll be healed. He just says, go. He doesn't touch them. And he does touch other lepers. He does say to others, you are healed. You are saved. He says things. This time he just says, go. Go to the priests. They go in as lepers to the priest. They go to the priest, is what he says. Go to the priests. Go and get them to affirm that you are clean. Go and speak to the priests, because they're the ones that can reintegrate you back into society. And I really think there's a tone here with Jesus where he's kind of saying, because that's what you want, isn't it? That's what you want. Go to the priests. Go to the priests. Go and let them see that you are clean. Go to them, because that's what you want. You want to be back in society. You want to take your rejection, and now you want to be accepted. We give too much power to people in our lives. We allow the voices of others and the loud voices in society to dictate who we are, and those who label us one thing that brings us pain, we somehow allow them to be given the authority as the only ones that can now declare us to be acceptable. I don't know what you're in right now. I don't know what you're going through right now, but maybe you have relationships in your life that are a bit abusive. And often what happens in those types of relationships is that the person that is speaking a negative label, or maybe you were just had that as a child growing up, maybe you've had it through work, maybe it's happened in past relationships, like maybe ex-husbands or wives or boyfriends and girlfriends, but for some reason they've declared you something. You've had stuff spoken over your life, and they've said that you are this thing. They've labeled you something, and that's who you are. And for some reason, what we do is we believe that they're the only ones that can declare us different, to give us, take that label back, to declare us acceptable, to allow us to be back in a society where we're seen. We've got to stop, the church, we've got to stop seeking the approval of others. We need to realize we've given too much power to something or somebody that we forget that actually they're the ones that have caused us to be isolated in the first place. The church has fallen into this trap of thinking the world's approval is more important than God's. And I want to just challenge you that one day, this is the thing that drives me. I'm going to face God. I believe in God. Do you believe in God? Yeah, we're going to face him. It's just facts. We don't read and talk about this enough, but we're going to face him, and there's going to be judgment for us about what we did with what he gave us. Do you know that's in scripture? Did you know that? For someone like me, it says I'm doubly accountable because I'm a pastor, and it says I'm doubly accountable because I'm a husband. So if you're a husband, yeah, you're doubly accountable. What are you doing with your wife? How are you honoring them? These are really important things that we kind of forget because we're more worried about what people think and how we look than how we look to a God who's created us. As they go, they are cleansed. That means as they went towards the priests, as instructed, they were made clean by Jesus. They were purged of this sickness. They were purified. Their physical stains and dirt, what everyone could see, the stains that brought them shame and isolation, were gone. We are so focused on what we and what others look like on the outside that we forget it's by our hearts that God sees us. And we can't fool God. You can fool Mackie, and you can fool the person sat next to you, but none of us can fool God. He sees it all, and he sees our hearts. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, they must have had some faith to believe, because they went. Jesus didn't say anything else. They just went. Something happens. All 10 of them are cleansed. 9 are eager to gain the priest's approval. Why? Why? Because they were so focused on what their external issues were that when Jesus cleaned it up, all they wanted was to be accepted and invited back into society. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. God's told me to tell you today that we need to stop treating him like a genie. That for some of us, we only speak to him when we're angry or upset because our external circumstances are not acceptable to you, because it lowers us before others. It brings us shame. But when God makes a way, because is our God a good God? Yeah. Is he a father that likes to take care of his children? Yeah. So he makes a way. He makes a way. He cleans us up. He provides. The problem is with that's not a relationship with God if it's only based on our external circumstances looking good. And if we're only calling on God when things are bad, we're not actually invested in a relationship with him. We're just treating him like God. Obviously, I'm only good as a Christian, or I'm only doing well if life is good. But that's not the deal that we were sold, I don't think. Maybe it was. See, Jesus came to fix us from our sin. We don't deserve anything other than that. Do you know that? We don't even deserve that, but we get given it as a free gift. But we sometimes get that free gift of eternal life and then think, oh man, now God owes us more. He owes us nothing. He's just a good God who loves you and he wants the best for you. But we've got to change the way that we think, that we're not like spoiled children asking for God to, and having tantrums, you know? I haven't got what I want. That we spend time with the Lord, that we are in a relationship with God. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but this is not a relationship with God. If maybe you've fallen into that trap where you feel that you are judged in your life because you think, oh, I must be bad. I must be a bad Christian because my life doesn't look good. That's not the measurement of whether you're doing well with Jesus or not. How much time have you spent with him? Now, this is the important part. We are all lepers. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a leper. Sorry. I just do that to embarrass my wife. She's like, why did you do that? We're all outsiders. We all don't fit in and we all need cleaning up. But no earthly priest, no man, no person, no church, no programs, no amount of money or title in society is going to clean you up. The church today has become blind to a savior who does not promise us a better life, but rather a way through it. And I know that this has crept into the church where we think that we're getting a better life with Jesus. Life's better with Jesus, amen? Yeah, like without Jesus, anyone remember without Jesus? Yeah, life is better with Jesus, but we're not promised a better life. He's given us a strength. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word to help us through it. We're not immune to what goes on in this world. We still suffer with sickness and grief. Financial troubles, those things aren't promised. Oh, we come to the Lord, now all those things are going to go away. We have to suffer the same as what everyone else suffers. We're in the same world. But when we have a Savior and we have a power of the Holy Spirit, we have a strength to get through it so we can get through those regions of rejection because we have the Lord. He helps us through it, not out of it. We're in it. We have turned God into a genie and we've lost sight of the relationship in which we were created for. A relationship, in fact, that Jesus died for us to have. If you're here today because it's what you've always done, or you've slipped into a process of just going through the motions, ticking boxes, and you've lost sight of who Jesus here is, I'm here today to tell you, come home. Come back home. Now, I have to do this because anyone with a microphone telling you what to do just sounds like they're really self-righteous and they've got it all together. But I just need to share this. Not long ago, I realized that I was talking about Jesus, pointing everyone I can to him, leading. I didn't realize this until recently, leading hundreds of people to Jesus, something I've always wanted to do. And one day it hit me. Lord, I don't know you the way I'm telling others to know you. We can all lose sight of Jesus. We can all start to allow life and society to creep into the church and water down this incredible supernatural faith that we have. And then we find ourselves caught up in the ritual rather than the relationship. The leper who returns to Jesus is not Jewish, and this is significant. And I believe maybe a message for this church. Judaism at the time is the equivalent to the religious spirit that we see over our nation today. Judaism, the way God had originally planned it, was amazing, but they messed it up. So by the time Jesus comes, it's not actually what he had created. It's they messed around with it. They created their own rules and put too much stuff in there. And Jesus is often dealing with that a lot of the time. All the nine lepers cared about was being accepted into the system that had actually rejected them. They were desperate to be cleansed by the priest and declared clean, as it's written in Leviticus 14. A bit more homework for you. But the thing is, Jesus, the high priest. Is Jesus your high priest? Is he yours? Yeah? Two people. Is anyone else? Is he yours? Yeah? Amen. Okay, well, hands are going up. Brilliant. Yeah. It's all right. My church does the same. I'm like, okay, all right. Is he your high? If he's your high priest, we don't need what people are telling us. We don't need approval of others. We just need to make sure we're in alignment with him. And what happens is Jesus heals all of them. But the one that's not as invested in the need of the approval of others, the one that isn't looking for the ritual, he's the one that starts looking down. He starts looking at his hands and his body, and he's touching his face, and he's clean. And nine are still like, that's obviously happened for all of them. But nine are like, let's get back. Let's get back to society. Let's get accepted again. Let's find the priest who will give us what we've always wanted, what we've always been lacking. And they're going to the temple to get that acknowledgement and that acceptance. But this one turns around, realizing that nobody else had done that for them. Nothing else had worked. Nobody had actually wanted to be anywhere near them. And yet some simple words from Jesus and they were cleansed. If you're not willing to look at what Jesus is doing and actually has done in your life and the lives of those around you, when he moves in power, you're going to miss it. In fact, and this is one of the things you can definitely pray for us as a church, is as God is moving, we can be very quick to be like, thank you, God, you've given us what we prayed for. People, brilliant, souls, baptisms, whatever it might be. I'll take it from here. That's where religion sets in. That's where the ritual turns up. Jesus turns up into this situation with all 10 of these men, and he speaks into their lives. And they're like, oh, I've got the move. I've had the power of God. I'm healed. And then they run to turn it into religion. Except one. He turns and he faces Jesus. The only reason we're in liberty, the only reason we're free is because of Jesus. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And this is the key. And maybe this is the key for the church, because when you guys were praying for us, I heard the heart. We want to see souls too. We want to see people saved too. But we can miss how to lead people to Jesus, how to lead people to their knees before him, if we're more focused on how they have to do it and how it should look and what needs to kind of happen according to the rule of us, rather than realizing, hang on a minute, something even greater happened than them being cleansed as lepers. And this is it. Jesus says, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This word, made you well, means made you whole. This Greek word is sozo, which means saved. This was never about physical sickness. It's not about the baptisms. It's not about all the people that are now having to do discipleship or how many chairs you need to put out. Or it's not about the programs that you run. It's not about how successful they are. These are all great things that God works in with us. The most important thing is souls. They're the only thing you can take with you. Souls. Jesus isn't, he heals us, he restores us. We see this so many times, but what was he really doing? Saving souls. There's one guy, isn't there, that he says, your sins are forgiven. They're like, what? You can't do that. Only God can do that. He's like, yep. But then he says, now take up your mat and walk. He deals with the guy's soul. And this is what happens to this leper that stays, remains. The other 9 missed it. I'm sure they were accepted back in society. I'm sure whether they had a role already in some way, they were back doing it. They were accepted again. They were loved again. They were able to be touched again. None of these things, you know, it sounds really harsh, but none of those things are things that we wouldn't like wouldn't want them to have. But the problem is the miracle came from Jesus, not from the priests. And they ran back to religion because the need to be accepted by others was more important, and they missed the true priest, the real Messiah, the real reason why he had come. One returned to give thanks because he didn't miss the who for the sake of the what. We're so focused on God fixing our problems that we fail to return to him. We fail to know him. Stop asking for your what to be fixed and start seeking the who that can fix it. Will you be the 10 in 9? The 1 in 10? 10 in 9, what is that? That's some dodgy maths that is. Will you be the 1 in 10 or the 9 in 10? How does it look for you right now? Just search your heart. Are you the one that falls at the feet of Jesus and gives him thanks? Are you the one that is aware of the miracles that are happening in your life every day? Or are you the one that misses Jesus and runs just to get the approval of others? That you are thankful that you are blessed, but you're not praising the one that blessed you. I don't know what my time is. Where are we at? My gosh, that's late. Okay. Can I just finish with this? Is that all right? You can say no. Okay. I want to give people here a chance to invite people to come back to Jesus. To remember that this faith is not about what you can get, it's about who you know. And I believe, like I did, there are people here that maybe have forgotten who Jesus is, lost connection to him, and defaulted into a spirit of religion, missing the whole reason why he came in the first place. In your reading today, in verse 16, there's this passage, chapter 16, verse 27, it says this: "Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and they do not hear the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rises from the dead." This is a vision of a man who is in the torment of hell. And he's understanding that. And he can see Abraham. And he says, please, 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 will you go back and tell my family that this is really real and that I had ignored it and I hadn't lived the way I should. But please, will you go back and tell them? And he says, I don't need to tell them. Moses is there. The prophets are there. They'll be the ones that they can hear, they can listen to. And he said, no, they won't listen to them. I didn't listen to them. You go back. You go and rise from the dead. If you show up and you're dead, you're meant to be dead, that would definitely persuade them. And he says, this is Jesus talking. If they won't listen to my words, Jesus rose from the dead. He's like, even if I rise from the dead, that's still not going to be enough. Jesus was speaking all the time about what they needed to do, how to repent, how to get right with God. We need to stop rejecting God's word. And we need to stop doing it because we think we're clever. If you do not listen now, tomorrow is not promised. And there is eternal torment for all of us that do not accept the way out. That's Jesus. He made the way. He paid the price. Jesus said these powerful words: "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied in your name. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." This is a big deal to Jesus. He doesn't want a successful church. He doesn't want great ministries. He doesn't want you to attend church every week as a ritual, as a measurement of, Lord, I'm showing you how. He doesn't want you putting your hands up in the air as a mindset of like, I think I'm doing okay, and everyone thinks I'm doing okay because look at me worshiping the Lord. He wants you to know him. And you most definitely want him to know you. And this is my challenge today, or challenge hopefully from the word, from God. Are you willing to change the way you think? Are you willing to come away from a place where what other people think about you is more important than God? And are you willing to invest in a relationship with God where he won't say, I don't know you, but he will say, welcome, good and faithful servant.